And so this is a question that if we're honest, if every person is honest, and I heard somebody say that you'll never see a person that's an atheist on their deathbed, you know, when they get ready to step off into eternity, that we need to realize that this is a question that should be on the heart of people who live in this life. And one of the things that happens is that man has devised different ways to be right with God.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of How Can I Be Right with God? So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of How Can I Be Right with God?
Come to the last message in this series about burning questions in the hearts of people. And we've been in the book of Proverbs talking about how to deal with this dog-eat-dog world. And as we come to our question today, we want to deal with how can I be right with God? How can I be right with God? How can I be right with God? I don't know about you, but I know growing up, and I've shared this here at Bethany before, every night when I went to bed that I could think of, I would always pray. And my prayer was, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And then God bless mommy and daddy and grandma and grandpa and, you know, Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse and all the other ones. But you know what? I prayed that prayer and really not knowing that if I was right with God or not. And, you know, the truth of the prayer is that I prayed for the Lord my soul to take, but I didn't know that the Lord would take my soul. I didn't know that I would go to be in the presence of the Lord. And so I couldn't answer that question. How could I be right with God? I didn't know if I was right with God or not. And I'm sure that there's many here this morning that you might have been in the same boat. You didn't know whether you were right with God. And as I look at this question, how can I be right with God? This should be a question that's on the heart of every individual that walks across the face of this earth. But it's not. And why is it? You know, because some people say that they're atheists, that they don't believe in God. And because they don't believe in God, that, you know, they're not concerned about being right with God. Some people don't give it much thought. You know, why should I think about being right with God? They're so wrapped up in this world that we live in here that, you know, they want to enjoy all they can in this life, and there's no concern for the afterlife. And even to the point where people begin to ignore the Bible, I mean, because in the Bible, it tells us how we can be right with God. And so people ignore the Bible because the Bible tells them things that they need to do to get right. And sometimes it goes against some of the things that they're doing, some of the things that they believe. And so they try to ignore the Bible. And then other people try to revise the Bible. You know, they try to make it say something that it really doesn't say because they want to appease their conscience. And so this is a question that if we're honest, if every person is honest, and I heard somebody say that you'll never see a person that's an atheist on their deathbed, you know, when they get ready to step off into eternity, that we need to realize that this is a question that should be on the heart of people who live in this life. And one of the things that happens is that man has devised different ways to be right with God. And so as we look at this, you know, we see that man has a quest. And man's quest is to be right with God. And so let's look at some ways that man says that we can be right with God. The first way is Islam. You know, Islam says that you can be right with God. And they have five pillars of Islam. One is confession of faith, and that is believing that Allah is God. They pray five times a day. They do alms or good deeds. They spend a month out of the year fasting during the daytime hours. And then a good Muslim will go to Mecca at least once in their lifetime. Now, all that, you do all that, and then in the end, you really don't know whether you are going to get in or not. You hope something that you've done during your lifetime tips the scales and made you right with God. When we had our Islam class, I remember the professor was sharing with us that he was in a shop in Jerusalem and that his daughter had gone in the shop, and it was owned by a Muslim, and she went in the shop and there was a very expensive piece of pottery. And somehow she hit it and knocked it over. And the professor who taught us, he said, I just knew that this was going to cost me an arm and a leg. And, you know, he began to chastise his daughter for not being more careful. And the Muslim owner said to him, oh, leave her alone. Don't say anything to her. You know, everything is all right. She doesn't have to pay for it. And he told her, and he told the professor, maybe this good deed that I'm doing, Allah will look upon me favorably when I stand before him in that last day. And so, even doing all this, that they're still not assured of the fact that they are right with God. Even Muhammad, the founder of Islam, didn't know if he was right with God. He had to wait to the end to find out. And so, this is one way that people say you can be right with God. And then, like I said, even in the end, you still don't know. The next way that we look at is Judaism. And some Jews believe that through prayer, repentance, and obeying the law that you can be saved. And others believe that salvation is just improving society. So if you do these things right here, that you will be right with God and that you will be able to stand before him and have peace in that day. Another, Hinduism. And Hinduism says that, you know, we find perfection or we find salvation as we go through cycles of reincarnation. And so in some places, that's why they will not kill cows, because they feel that it may have been one of their relatives who died, you know, generations before and now has come back as a cow to pay their dues, so to speak. And so, you know, they're going through this process of reincarnation. And then finally, you kind of absorb yourself into some type of nirvana, and then you are right with your God. We see that even Buddhism, and they talk about the goal of life is nirvana, and that means that you have to eliminate the desires and cravings. And in this way, you escape suffering. And they actually have an eightfold path, which is a system that you work your way into salvation with your God. And then we see that there is our good friends, the Jehovah's Witnesses. And they say, be baptized as a Jehovah Witness, and there's only 144,000 that are going to get in, and those 144,000 are already saved. So the best that you can do now is become one of the other sheep and live in paradise here on this earth. And so again, you have to hand out watchtowers and awakes, and you do all these things in efforts to try to be right with your God. And then we see the Mormons, who believe that if you do good works and religious acts and you are faithful to the Mormon church, that you will be saved. So here are some ways that people say that you can get to God. And each one, as we've seen, and I just put, you know, there are thousands of ways that people tell you that you can be right with God. I just put up a few this morning. But when you boil these things down, they fall into one of three categories. And the one of three categories is the summary of how man is made right with God. Hands, which is what? You do a lot of works. You stand on the corner and you hand out magazines. You sell bean pies. You go door to door, doing this, doing that. Hands, works. And then the other way is the head, is what you believe. If you believe this or you believe that, that you can eventually believe your way into salvation. But then I believe that the third way is the way of God, and that's the heart. And other religions say, do, do, do. Christianity says, done, done, done. That there's nothing you have to do. And so God has given us the prescription in his word of how we can be made right with him. As we begin, and we're back into Proverbs now, and in Proverbs chapter 3, verse that many of you already know, probably can quote it by heart, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So notice the key. And we could talk, say a lot of things about being right with God, but we're going to focus on this one today. And I believe that it's going to cover all and it's going to catch all. And that is trust. Trust in the Lord. That if you want to be right with God, that you have to trust in him. Notice that the word trust, it means to put your full weight upon something for support. He says, trust in him. Just like I'm leaning on this pulpit, that you put your, and I don't have my full weight on it right now, but you put your full weight on it. I'll give you a good example. And every one of y'all that's sitting down are doing it right now. You putting your full weight on that chair, trusting that that chair is going to hold you up. I remember I went to a cookout one time, and I was sitting in a chair. And all of a sudden, the legs started spreading, and the chair started going down, and the people thought I was joking. I'm like, man, help, help. I thank God for my brother. My brother was there. He jumped up and he grabbed my hand and kept me from going to the ground. So, you know, we look at the chair that you sat in and you trusted it, right? You trusted that it was going to hold you up. And even it says, lean not to your own understanding. That you the Bible says that there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is destruction. So, yo, if a guy says, well, you know what? I don't want God's way. You know, I believe that I can go sit down in my basement and I can meditate and I can think about things and I believe that I'll be all right. Well, I just got one thing. That in the end, when you stand before God, you try to sell that to him and see if that flies. That's not going to work. And so people are coming up with their own ways. If you go back and look at all those religions that we put up there, Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, Judaism, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, just think about this. Every last one of them, think about this now. Think about this. Every last one of them was started by a man. Every last one of them. And so these are ways that man has come up with to say, this is how I'm right with God. And so man has turned to his own way. Man has turned to his own devices. And yet and still we read that we are to trust in the Lord. That the Bible is God's revelation. And you know, the longer I live, the more I'm convinced that the Bible is a miraculous book. And when you think about the fact that over 40 different authors, 40, not 4, not 24, not 34, 40 different authors over a 1600 year period from three different continents, from every occupation in life, that they came together and that they wrote the word of God over, like I said, a 1600 year period. And yet, there's one message that is woven throughout the fabric of all the scripture. And that is that one day the Messiah will come. And then we go to the New Testament and we look back and we see that this Messiah has come and he died on the cross. He was buried and that he rose again. And so we, as Peter said, have a more sure word of prophecy. That when you pick up this Bible, you can pick it up knowing that it's the very word of God. You know, I became so convinced, and I got tired of running into people on the street telling me that the Bible had mistakes in it, telling me that the Bible had contradictions in it, telling me that you can't trust the Bible. And so I spent about a 2 to 3 year period just studying all the objections that people came up with to reject the Bible. For instance, you know, people will tell you that there's all kinds of contradictions in the Bible. And one that I always get is that, well, you know, in the Bible, it says that Judas hung himself. And then somewhere else, it said that his bowels were broken open. So what is it? Did he hang himself or did he fall and his body split open? And so they say, see, there's a contradiction right there. But if you go back to the land of Israel, and you look, a lot of times when people hung themselves in committing suicide, that what they would do is hang themselves over a cliff. And they would go out and, you know, they would hang themselves. And then, you know, after the heat started affecting the body would begin to swell. And more than likely, what happened is that the rope broke and Judas fell to the bottom of the ground. And that's where he was burst open. So again, you know, say, there's a contradiction, right? There's no contradiction. And I'm going to through the Bible right now, and I think I've got about 50 so far. And I'm studying every contradiction that people say that there's in the Bible. And every one that I study, every last one that I study, that there's an answer for it. We hold in our hand the Word of God, or on our tablets, or on our phones. The Word of God. And the Word of God gives us the way of salvation. And my brothers and sisters, you better lean on God, because God wrote a book. God said, I don't want my people to have to wander through the wilderness. God said, I don't want my people to have to try to figure out what to do. That I'm going to tell them, and so I'm going to write a book, and I'm going to tell them what to do. And so God wrote a book, and in this book he tells us about salvation. And in Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5 it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, put your full weight on the Lord, and don't lean at all to your own understanding, because like I said earlier, there's a way that seems right unto man, and the end thereof is destruction. And so I want to use this word trust. And as I use this word trust, I want to talk about how to get right, and I want to talk about how to stay right. So let's first of all look at how to get right. How can we get right with God? T-R-U-S-T, trust. If you want to get right with God, let's go back to Proverbs. What does Proverbs say? Trust in the Lord. Not a little bit, not with half your heart, but trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know, there was a missionary that was translating the Bible, and he was looking for a word for trust, and he couldn't find the word for trust in the language of the people that he was translating the Bible in. And so he fought and fought, and he just couldn't come up with a word. And then one day, one of the people from the village came and ran in. And when they got in, they flopped down on the chair. And the missionary said, what do you call that they just did? And they said, what? Well, he just ran in and flopped down on the chair like that. And they told him what the word was. And that was the word that they used for trust. To put your trust in. Put your weight in what God says. And so the first thing in trust, in order to get right with God, you got to realize that we've all been tainted. We've all been tainted by sin. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so some people, you know, some religions, just check this out now. Some religions say what? Well, you know, we don't sin. There's religions that teach that people don't sin. Sin is just an abstract thought in your mind. That sin is not a reality. Well, I'll tell you what. All you got to do is live a little while. And if you think that you don't sin, then you're going to find out. Because sin is going to jump on your body. And you're going to feel the effects of sin in your body. And so that in order for a person to be saved, that the person must realize that they're lost. That you got to realize that you are lost. And that we have all been tainted by sin. And we are sinners in two ways. We are sinners by birth, Psalm 51. In sin, David said, my mother conceived me. So we are sinners by birth. And then secondly, we are sinners by choice, Romans chapter 3. So we've all been tainted by sin. And then we need to realize that because I'm a sinner, I'm on my way to hell. Now, we don't like to talk about that. We don't like to mention the H word, right? We like to stay away from the H word. But the fact of the matter is, if you're sitting here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you close your eyes in death, you're going to bust hell wide open. And we got to realize that because of that we have been separated from God. You know, when Adam sinned, God told Adam, in the day that you eat from the tree, you will surely die. Now, you know what? Did Adam, when he ate the fruit, did he keel over and die? No, he didn't die. But let me tell you three types of death that took Adam over. Three types of death. First of all, there was spiritual death. Because just think that Adam was able to walk and talk with God in the cool of the garden. And now that fellowship between him and God was broken. So there was spiritual death. Secondly, there was physical death. Because at that point, Adam began to die. Adam would have lived forever. He would have ate from the tree of life. He would have lived forever. But because he sinned, now there was physical death. He was going to physically die. No, he didn't die at that moment, but 900 some years later, he did die. And then the third type of death is eternal death. And that is being eternally separated from God. And so we see that you got to realize that you've been tainted by sin. You got to realize that the wages of sin is death. And then you got to realize that you're unable to do absolutely anything. There's nothing that you can do. If we went back and put all those religions up again, there's nothing that man can do to make himself or herself right with God. Now think about this. And let me just go on to my next point, and that is, and I'm going to take these two points together, the Savior. God loved us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross to save us from our sin. That trust, anyone who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. So let me take these. As a matter of fact, let's turn real quick to Acts chapter 16.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of How Can I Be Right with God? If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, How Can I Be Right with God? You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request How Can I Be Right with God? That's anchoredinjesus.org and request How Can I Be Right with God? Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.